You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Postgame show is brought to you by Geico. In less time than it takes to listen to this postgame show, you can get a quote with Geico. To bundle home and car insurance at geico.com. 15 minutes can save you more on your car insurance with Geico.
Happy 56th birthday to Mike Ryan, original nemesis, Mark Schlereth.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Mike Ryan, then a cocky kid on Twitter, went after Mark Schlereth about some of his analysis, and Mark Schlereth came over to him in the most Mark Schlereth of ways on social media and asked, do we have a problem here? And Mike Ryan ran back into
said,
the shadows.
No, sir. No, sir.
Ran back into the shadows, scared of Mark Schlereth, and just to lob feces from afar, scared as soon as Mark Schlereth asked the question that will make all of us big mouths and big men back down. Do we have a problem here? Nope. You've got a grill in your hand. You would probably throw me, or you've got a spatula in your hand and you would throw me on your grill and cook me up. So I'm sorry.
I've never even answered your question. I just ran away. Deleted all the tweets.
I'm sorry to have upset you, Mark Schlereth. You got him to the point. It's really the place you want to get your dad right up until he gets to, do we have a problem here? Nope. I'm going to go into my room as a teenager, close the door, and not invite any more of these problems. But this guy from Twitter does want to invite these problems. He's at 305 Ricardo, and in response to changing playoff rules, he says in all capital letters, wrong, play defense, no participation trophies, team sport, get it together.
Is that guy?
Thank you, eighth grade phys ed teacher at 305 Ricardo. Wrong!
I mean, I feel like the argument could be made that the Bills' defense needed to get it together in overtime.
It's understandable that we're always having that conversation after playoff games because everything is heightened. Stakes matter more. More eyes are watching the game. But the coin toss isn't that important during the regular season. The data would suggest that. However, in the postseason, there have been 11 instances in which there have been games that go to overtime. Coin toss winner has won 10 out of the 11. And the one time that it didn't win, there was a famous pass interference that wasn't called that made a rule be reviewable for a year until the referees decided to tank it and make sure that that would never happen again.
I'm curious as we watch all of this, because as some of this stuff has been fast forward during the pandemic with greed and commerce and get that 17th game, I don't know if the audience has wondered about this. In basketball, in the NBA, when LeBron James is trying to play all 48 minutes, it's a test of the limits of the human body. Would you be willing to buy in on an 11 coin flip sample size that by the time you've reached the end of a playoff game, everyone is so tired and broken at the end of a season and fighting and fighting, and the 49ers are limping off the field, the best of them, in the last minute, that this game tests the human limits to a point that you're not going to be able to play much defense at the end of an overtime game, at the end of a brutal, brutal season? Are you willing to do that with an 11 game sample size? That these sports are all testing human limits, and you can't go multiple overtimes. You have to have an ending. You can't go 3 and 4 overtimes before it just becomes carnage.
Yeah, and it becomes unfair because presumably, in most cases, unless it happens in the Super Bowl, one of the teams is going to have a really big game coming up. I think the rule is fine. It's the best of the options. I don't want to see it become college football. While it's a small sample, though, that 10 out of 11, and it should be 11 out of the 11, and I think the reason why the math is like that compared to the regular season is you're not having a bad team win a coin toss, where in the regular season you can count on, okay, yeah, the Detroit Lions may win this coin flip, but the chances of them marching down on the Pittsburgh Steelers on that first drive and hanging up a touchdown to end this game aren't nearly as likely as the Kansas City Chiefs doing that to, yes, admittedly, another good team in the Buffalo Bills, but a good offense is, in all likelihood, going to win that coin toss.
Yeah, 11 coin flips is not a tiny sample. I mean, it's something that gets your attention when it's 10 to 1 and should be 11 to nothing. And the coin flip that begins the game is utterly meaningless because the one who wins the coin flip defers 90% of the time. But the idea that a coin flip, that a totally random coin flip would go a large way disproportionately to deciding a playoff game, any game, let alone a playoff game, is ridiculous. It should be, the rule should be changed. Each team should have at least one possession.
Let me ask this question on the stat. Does that mean opening drive is deciding the game? Or is the ball going back and forth and then probabilities are playing a role here? Because that's a different result. If all 11 are the game ends on the first drive, then maybe I can take that sample and support my macro point of everyone is just done by the end of one of those games. Because it's not just like all the other games. This is clawing, scratching desperation of the position the Chiefs are in when they're down 13 and they're trying to save what their bodies have been fighting for all season long. You're getting the best of what everyone's got left. What's the answer to my question? Is it 11 immediate first strike scores where the team scores a touchdown and then the game's over and how disappointing? My guy never got to touch the ball.
7 of those 10 teams scored the sudden death touchdown on the opening drive. It's courtesy of Ian Rappaport that got it from NFL Research.
And it's interesting because I saw this from Lewis Riddick, over the course of regular season and the playoffs, it's only 21.5% of teams have scored on the opening drive after the coin toss, touchdown ends the game. So the regular season is overweighted there because it's 163 total, and we're talking about 11 games in the playoffs. So the lion's share of the regular season is that you're not having teams score on that opening drive, but in the playoffs, all of a sudden becomes a much bigger determinant in the outcome of the game.
And it's flatly because teams are better than most of the teams headed into overtime during the regular season. So maybe you could look at something for playoff postseasons because while we're all saying it's small, to your point, Greg, recent history would suggest you win that flip, 70% of the times you're marching down the field and winning the game.
I also think the reaction is largely based off of, and I will admit to this because I had the knee-jerk take, let's fix the rules. It's largely because of our quarterback-centric, offense-centric view of the game, that the offenses are the ones that are determining the outcome, not the defense, especially in that game where the two quarterbacks went toe-to-toe over the final 5 minutes of the game and it was football played on another plane. And so you want to see them determine it, not only one offense getting a chance to have a go.
One of the things that you heard me marveling about yesterday, just at the level of scientific training that goes into military schools for millionaires producing Sunday warriors who could be super disciplined on the field. I'm not talking about the Antonio Brown stuff. I'm talking about on the field, route running, all of that stuff that has to be precise. That the beauty of the weekend with all the storylines and walk-offs and everything else, that at the end, when what might have been the two best teams, Buffalo and Kansas City, play a game at the height of offense being played as we've ever seen it. 13 seconds left. And this is how Michael Irvin, I remember Michael Irvin defining discipline this way back in the Orange Bowl in the 90s, saying discipline isn't whatever you think it is. Discipline is my body's done in the fourth quarter. I got nothing left. I'm on the defensive line. I've been car crashing all game long. And now fourth quarter, humidity coming down on me. I'm spent. I've been training for this all week, but I got nothing left in my tank. And now the quarterback goes hard count on me, and I know not to jump. I do not jump on that hard count, because no matter how fatigued I am, my mind is right. That Travis Kelce with 13 seconds left might have broken off that route because him and Patrick Mahomes just knew, got to go inside, that evidently that wasn't the call. They just both saw. They know from the training of being specimens at the height of the sport every day, meetings. It's no fun. It's Ray Lewis says they pay me for Sundays. Sundays are fun, but that week is not fun. It's training. So 13 seconds, survival, war mentality, we're generals training military school. You're not too tired to know, Travis, don't break that to the left. You got to break that to the right. You got to know that, because we've been training it across three seasons with you two at the top of what offense can be, Mahomes and Kelce. That was a audible, correct?
Yeah, no, they totally improvised that route. They both talked about it in the post-game press conference, and it was fascinating because I was talking about, look, these are teams that have really drilled down these practice routines in this scenario, and you have two guys as calm as can be at the line of scrimmage, recognizing the defense that they went up against on the first play of that drive. And in the huddle, Travis Kelce says, hey, Patrick, if they line up that very same way, I'm going to take the gap that the defense is presenting me. And if you go and watch that play, that big play to Travis Kelce,
you can hear him
at the line. Patrick goes, do it, Kelce, do it, Kelce. And Kelce gets his cue and he just runs a seam route.
Think right about up. That.
That's incredible.
Think about the precision of Andy Reid offense. We need to hire Bieniemy. Those guys are doing it different than everyone else. And at the end of it, Buffalo.
It's Kelce.
Kelce, just do that thing.
Yeah, no, go to the car and run a button route. Like, it was backyard football. And it's just phenomenal that you have those talents to be like, yeah, we have these plays for these moments, but the defense is showing us this gap right here in the middle of the field. I'm going to take that when everyone's hair should be on fire. When other teams find it difficult to find the official, they're just casually being pick up.
No, and how exhausted does Kelce have to be after what he has done all game? When I'm talking to you about the tests of the human limits, like that, I'm watching that at the end and I'm like, man, oh man, they're going to go at the end. They're going to finish Buffalo when Josh Allen is the height of whatever youthful thoroughbred exuberance is, trying to come for everybody's stuff. They're going to be able to throw in precision against an exhausted defense because they've won the coin flip to Kelce in the end zone because, okay, how are you going to stop that exactly? Those two guys with that chemistry, leading receiver in the league last year as a tight end. What are you going to do after you've been chasing Tyreek Hill around all game? What do you do?
Squib kick.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.